Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and praise the Lord for everything we've already received and just being in church on this Sunday evening and taking advantage of the opportunity that God gives us to assemble and to worship Him. And I trust that you're coming tonight with that focus that we preached on this morning and just focus on coming to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the most important thing here tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 2, Luke in chapter 2. Sunday nights we've been looking at little-known Bible characters that have a great message for us. And we have looked at several in the New Testament and several in the Old Testament at this point and found tremendous messages that God has for us in the Bible characters that He has recorded in His Holy Word. Every word in this Bible has been recorded for a purpose. And the Bible says that Jesus taught the disciples, you need to live by every word. And so God has a purpose for every word, and especially every Bible character that has been preserved and recorded in the Scriptures. And so we've been looking at some of those that you don't hear about too often, and some that you don't even realize that's in the Bible. And so I trust it's been a blessing to you. And tonight, we're looking at chapter 2 of Luke and verse 21, we're going to read down to verse 35 and looking at the Bible character named Simeon. Simeon. And so if you'll stand with me tonight, we're going to start reading in verse 21. Read down to verse 35. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which he said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again, we thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you for all that are here that took advantage of the opportunity to be here on this Sunday night. And God, you know exactly what each one has need of here tonight, and I just pray that through the service that you would minister to them and meet their spiritual need and draw them closer to you. I pray that you would empower and anoint the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So the Bible character, the little-known Bible character that has a great message for us tonight will be this Bible character named Simeon. Now, who was Simeon? The Bible does not tell us that he was a prophet. He was not a pastor. He was not a deacon. The Bible says about Simeon in verse 25 that he was simply a man in Jerusalem. And we know that he was toward the end of his life, because after he was able to see the Lord's Christ and he was ready to go ahead and die. And so we know that he would have been an elderly man here in Jerusalem. That's all the Bible says about him. So any one of us can identify with that, an individual that was waiting for a promise that God had made him to be fulfilled before he would depart. In verse 26, we find that God granted Simeon his desire to see the Christ child. The Bible says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he was living these last few days, however long it might have been, maybe even a year, I don't know. But we know that he was living just to be able to see the Christ child come into the temple. That's his whole life here at this last was about being able to see this promise that God made to him fulfilled before he would depart from this life. Jesus taught his disciples back in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 17 that many had desired to see what they see and had not seen. And matter of fact, the Bible says in Matthew 13, 17, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. We look back and David wrote about a desire to see the horn of salvation. It's what God revealed to him, and that's what he wrote about the Christ child coming, the horn of salvation. Job would write about his living Redeemer. Job would not see him, but he knew that his Redeemer liveth, and he would write about him. Malachi, one of the last prophets, wrote about the Son of Righteousness. Each one of these, they would have seen Jesus in the flesh, but they did not have that opportunity. They did not have that privilege. But Simeon, knowing all of that, was given a promise before he would leave this world that he would see the Christ child. Now, why would God do that for Simeon? And we have it recorded here, and that's the main thing about Simeon. The life of Simeon was he was in the temple, and he had a promise from God, and he was able to see the Christ child and then give some words of exaltation to Mary, Joseph and Mary, and then he was ready to depart this world. So we have this written down, and this Bible character named Simeon, I believe this is a message that God has for us through this Bible character named Simeon. First of all, what the Bible says about this man, he was just a man. He was not a prophet. He was not a priest. He was not a pastor. He wasn't even a deacon in the church. He was just a man that the Bible says two things about, was just and devout. Just and devout. That would be one of the reasons why God would allow him to see the Christ child. He was just toward men and devoted to God. The idea there of just is also could be said about him that he was righteous. Just and righteous are somewhat the very same. He was just and righteous. If you look back to the Bible, I think the best example that the Bible gives to us about God's revealing a blessing to somebody in the Bible that was just and righteous, we would go back and we just finished a Bible study, a character study on Noah on Wednesday nights. And back in Genesis in chapter 6, when the whole world, it was before God would destroy the world with the flood, the whole world had turned against God. There was no one who was just and righteous before God except for one. And the Bible says about Noah in Genesis in chapter 6 and verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In a day and time when no one else had a desire for righteousness, no one else had a desire to be just in what they did. The Bible says about this time in verse 5, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. That's how society was during that time. But even though society was so evil, we find that there was still opportunity for mankind to be just and righteous. Amen. Praise the Lord for the example of Noah. And the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generation of Noah, generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. That's what the Bible has to say about Noah. Over in the chapter 7, he says this, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house unto the ark, for in thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation." So we find that those that are righteous in God's eyes, that God has a desire to bless them. That's what we find here. In the New Testament, Simeon was given a promise. He was just a faithful churchgoer, if you will. He was just faithful to being all that he could be. And he had this desire. He believed that the Christ child was going to come. He understood the Old Testament prophecies. And the angel of the Lord came to him, and the Holy Spirit of God was upon him. And they gave him this promise that you will not see death before you see the Lord's Christ. Now that was, again, we find that the reason that God gave him that promise was because of his relationship with God. He, in God's eyes, he was just. He was righteous and devoted. In the book of Psalms in chapter 37, can I tell you that God will bless those that are righteous, and God will, he desires to give us things that only God knows that we have a desire to see, and that God has, that we have a desire to receive. God knows how to bless his children. That's what I'm telling you tonight. God knows how to judge his children as well. He knows what will get to us the fastest. That's why any time that I'm in a trial, God allows me to go through trials so that there's something that he wants to teach me in the midst of the trials. And I've often said, when I realize that I'm in a trial, I want to look to God and receive whatever it is that God has got me in that trial for as quickly as possible, because once I've received it, I can come out of the trial and I can be stronger on the other side. But I'm in a trial. God does not allow his children to go through trials without there being a purpose. And God knows exactly what it takes to get across certain things in our hearts and our minds. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now with that, I want you to go back and look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." And so promises of God here to those that are just looking to trust in God and do good. And then as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he shall give us the desires of our heart. God knows our desires. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Isn't that a blessing to know that? Not only that, if you look down to verse 25, verse 25 says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. What we find here about this man, Simeon, that God gave him a special blessing. It was something that he had a desire to see. And God came to him and gave him a promise that he would be able to see this before he would die. And all that God tells us about him, that first of all, that he was just or righteous. And then he was devout. To be devout is to give oneself wholly to. He was devoted to being all that God wanted him to be. He was devoted to being led by God's Holy Spirit. And that's why we find here in Luke in chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see." If he had not been yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, aware of God working in his heart and his life, aware of God having something that he wanted him to have, he would not have received this promise from God. He would not have known what to look for. But because of the Holy Spirit, he was yielded to the Holy Spirit, then he would understand that God had something for him. Verse 27, it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, I love that. Because if he would not have been in the temple, he would not have been there when Christ came in. And if he would not have been there when Christ came in, he would not have received the blessings that God wanted him to receive. Amen for that. That's right. So not only do we need to be righteous and looking to God and being all that God would have us to be, we need to be devoted to be able to do whatever God would have us to do. And as we are faithful to do what God would have us to do, then it positions us for all that God has for us in blessings. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. So he was there. He was led by the Holy Spirit, and he came into the temple at the very same time that Joseph and Mary brought in the Christ. So we find that one of the reasons that God would allow him to see the Christ, the Bible says about him that he was just, righteous, and he was devoted to God. In verse 28 down to verse 30, we find here that Simeon experienced the fulfillment of this promise from God. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, because he knew that it was all part of God's plan, and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." God's promises are precious. But I think I taught this morning in Sunday school, if we don't know of his promises, we can't claim his promises. If we don't know the word of God, then we cannot claim the word of God. But if we know his promises and we understand that we meet the conditions for his promises, then he can give us those things that he has promised. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Let me just read to you what the Bible says about that. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says this, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." If you're saved, can I tell you that God has given to you as his child exceeding great, and let me tell you, they are precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If we are going to escape the corruption that is in the world, and if we are going to live as God would have us to live, then we need all that God has for us. Exceeding great and precious promises. Do you really understand what God has for you? Do you have an awareness? Do you have an anticipation? Do you anticipate receiving the promises of God? Simeon was one of those, and one of the greatest promises that he had that he would claim was that he was not going to die until he was able to see the Christ child. And every day he woke up and he was thinking, "I'm going to the temple because this might be the day." I don't know how many days that he was there looking around and expecting to see the Christ child, but there came the day as he was led by the Spirit of God and he was anticipating finding the Christ child. There came the day that the desires of his heart were met and he rejoiced in his Savior. Simeon had seen the Savior, and now he experienced a peace concerning his departure. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Well, this is something the Bible has a lot to say about. Something that the world can't give you, the peace that only God can give you. A peace concerning God's will for our lives. A peace concerning God's presence. A peace concerning whatever it might be, that I'm going to make it through this. A peace concerning the promise that God will not put more on me than what I'm able to bear. A peace that I'm never alone. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. There's so many promises that God makes to us and that we need to hold on to. We need to claim. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, peace with God. That's salvation. You see, because unless you receive Jesus Christ, you're dead in your trespasses and sins, and you don't have peace with God. You don't know God. He doesn't know you. He does not acknowledge you as one of his, because we're dead because of our sins, separated from God. But when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we receive the peace with God through Jesus Christ. And then in the book of Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul writes about the peace of God. the peace of God to live with. If you're saved this morning, if you have peace with God, there should not be a day goes by that you are not able to look to God in the midst of whatever trials, in the midst of whatever tribulation, and find the peace of God. If you are at peace with God, then you have these promises that you can have the peace of God. But we have to look for that. We have to look to God, and we have to yield to God that has given us these promises. If you want that peace that passes understanding, don't try to get it from a secular psychiatrist, and don't try to get it from secular counseling. Go to the Word of God and let the Word of God counsel you on how you can live with the peace of God. And as we live with the peace of God, we find here that Simeon also had the peace to face death with. He'd been living with the peace, knowing that he knew God and God knew him. He'd been living with the idea that God had blessings in store with him, and he had peace concerning that. And now that he received what God had for him, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go on to glory. And God would give him a peace to face death with. Paul would write of this peace when Paul would say in Philippians in chapter 1 and verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In preparing to die, how many are still trying to make money? How many would give every dime that they had to live? Gold and silver, worldly recognition, means very, very little when you're facing death. You're facing departing this life. But if you've lived with the peace with God and the peace of God, then when you get ready to face death, you can have the peace even to face death with. What a blessing. I know Brother Bob's up in the balcony there, and I don't know that I've dealt with a lot of people on their bedside and their deathbeds, and I've done a lot of funerals. I keep my funeral messages, and I've got a stack about this thick of funeral messages I've done over the last 30-some years. 35 years, I did several funerals when I was a youth pastor. I've got a record of every one of them, and it is. And I just go back and sometimes, remember all of those that I've preached their funerals. And probably the one that sticks out the most was here recently, was Sandy Arnold. And she had the peace of God. The last time I talked to her, last couple times, she kept saying, I don't know why I'm still here. I'm ready to go. I don't know why I'm still here. And I said, Sandy, it's because God still has purpose for your life. Don't try to go before your time. She didn't feel like she could do a whole lot, but I said, your presence is doing more than you even realize. Yeah. And she had a peace about dying. She had a peace about seeing her Savior. And truth of it is, she's rejoicing with the angels in heaven tonight. I believe she's in that great cloud of witnesses looking down upon even the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and she is rejoicing over the victories that have been won through this church and the souls that are being saved and the Christians that are being discipled. Praise God for that. Simeon relates to that when he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. He's ready to die. He's ready to die in peace. Well, the last thought about this, he's experienced the fulfillment of a promise from God. The last thought in verse 30 down to verse 35 would be Simeon was kept alive for a purpose. Now, he was ready to receive the promises of God and then go on, but he didn't want to leave before his purpose had been fulfilled. Can I tell you tonight, don't quit until God tells you that it's over. Sometimes we get in old age and we think, even in people in the nursing homes, and we think, well, why does God allow them to continue to live? Can I tell you that God knows much more than what we know? God understands how that one life can affect as many people as He wants it to affect. And who knows who's going to be touched by that life? Let God determine life and death. And if you're at that place, if you're wondering what is your life worth, just give it to God and let God use it. Let God use it. Don't take your life. Don't give up on living. Listen to me. Give it to God and say, God, I just need your peace. Use my life. Use my life. And let God use it all the way up to the end. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God has purpose for your life. We find here that God would have purpose to give assurance to Joseph and Mary concerning who Jesus was. Again, this is a young couple, and they've experienced a whole lot. And yet, it's just one more confirmation to Mary and Joseph. As they take him in there, they don't know what's ahead for them. God had already prepared it. Simeon was wanting to see the Christ child, and they didn't know what was going to take place. They were just being obedient, doing what they knew that God would have them to do. And when he took him into the temple to do what God had told them to do, then they found in the temple this man that had been waiting to see the Christ child. And in amazement, he comes down and he says, my eyes have seen the Christ. And Joseph and Mary are kind of at awe, and they see this taking place before their very eyes. And then they would remember back to what the angel told them and all the experiences they've had up to this point. And so it was there for God to just give even more assurance. Praise the Lord for the life of Simeon. He tells, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now he's just praising God, and they're witnessing this, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And the Bible says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They were marveling because they said, wow. God does things like that, you know?
Yeah.
Things that only you know, that it came by way of God. When God's working in your life, can I tell you, He'll do things that you know that it's of God. God has done that.
Amen.
Only God knew that I was looking for this. Only God knew this could bring a blessing to my heart. Only God knew what could bring joy to my heart. Whatever it might be, can I tell you that that's how God works?
Yeah.
If we're looking to God. If we are aware of God and we are looking to live righteously and we are looking to be devoted to Him, you'll find God blessing you with even the desires of your heart in certain areas. So Simeon was kept alive to give assurance to Joseph and Mary concerning who Jesus was. But then He does something that is very unusual, especially for the Old Testament time, and this was ushering in the New Testament. Simeon addresses Mary. He didn't address Joseph. And Simeon, look at verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now God is using Simeon to prepare Mary for the sorrow that she will experience. Now Joseph is not around. The Bible really doesn't tell us what happens to Joseph if he dies ahead of time, but he's not there at the end when Jesus goes to the cross. But Mary is. And so we find here that God, understanding that, lead Simeon not to address Joseph, which would have been the thing to do, understanding that he addresses Mary. And he prepares Mary for that which will break her heart, as it would any mother to their son hanging on a cross, dying for the sins of the world. He says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. He's talking to Mary. It's going to be a hard thing for you, Mary. But when it comes to that time, I believe when Mary was there looking at her son dying on the cross for the sins of all mankind, I believe there was something inside of her. The Holy Spirit said, remember what Simeon said. This is all part of God's plan. Mary, don't lose faith. Mary, God has a purpose, and God will strengthen you. And I believe that Mary was able to even have a peace that passeth all understanding, even when she looked upon her son being crucified on the cross. Now, she was prepared. And God, knowing this, worked in their lives. What kind of blessing does God have in store for us? I believe that God has future blessings in store for His children here on this earth and much more after the rapture. But God desires to give His children the desires of the heart, as we read in Psalms chapter 37. What He is looking for is just and devout, righteous, living as God would have us to live, and being devoted to the will of God. That's what we can do. If we focus on what we can do, as I believe Simeon did, then you can have the very same blessings. I don't know just what they might be, but the very same type of blessing that brought the peace of God to Simeon, I believe it can bring the peace of God to each and every one of us. Little known Bible characters that have a great message for us to learn. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The story of Simeon ought to be helped of all of us. God knows not only the past and the present, but He knows all about the future. He knows what He has in store for us. And if you're looking to God, He will prepare you for whatever you're going to have to face if you look to Him. Claim His promises. Receive His blessings. Father, we love You. Thank You for the service tonight. Thank You for all that we have received in being in church. Thank You for this example of this Bible character named Simeon and how You used him and how we can learn from biblical principles that would be applied to our own lives. I pray tonight, God, if there's someone here that does not know You as Savior, that they would come to this altar and let someone take a Bible and show them what they must do to have the peace with God. There might be a believer here that does not have the peace of God. I pray they would come and confess and forsake whatever would be a hindrance to them claiming the promises that You have for them. I pray, God, that we would make the decisions that would bring to each one of us this type of peace that passeth all understanding. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.